So you've made it. Thank you for coming. Let me just kill that.
We were telling a story. Once upon a time.
So the last session on the last day. This is a fantastic turnout. Thanks, guys, for coming.
I thought we were going to get four people. So thank you for turning up.
At least six. six is here. So I'm guessing that means that you guys are interested in this awesome OS called Windows XP. Hey, excellent. So let me introduce myself. I'm Terry Chapman. For those who haven't met you before, I'm an enterprise architect with Microsoft. The reason this presentation came about is because of repeating the content of this presentation to many, many customers. And so that's why we're standing up here today. So I'll let Pete introduce himself. Cool.
My name's Peter Haig. I'm a technology strategist, which means I sort of wander around, talk to lots of government customers around our cool stuff, and try and convince them to use what they've already purchased most of the time. Drink a lot of coffee. And I do buy coffee as well, so hit me up. I'm a generalist, but I do spend a lot of time around the desktop. And of course, in government, there's still more XP than there should be. I think we're at about sort of 48 or 50% migrated, I think, at this stage. So lots of work to do. So I spend lots of time talking about this, and more specifically around the things to do to get off XP.
Cool. And you'll notice if I stand next to Pete here, there's a new dress code in yep. Microsoft. It's the goatee and the bald. So
yeah. So my one of my new account managers, he said, I think there's a lot of Pete's here. I'm going to start counting Pete's. It's bald guys with goatees and glasses. And I think took him about 10 seconds to spot five of me.
So anyone who's bored and got a goatee, bring your job application up from Microsoft at the end of the session and we'll consider it.
Slot right in. Yeah.
Excellent. All right, so in order for this to be the most help, and sorry, I'll try to talk to you guys all the way down here as well. I need you guys to help us with some feedback, because we want to make this presentation as relevant as possible to you guys. So we can stand up here and we can talk. We're professional talkers. What I'd prefer to do is let's get some feedback from you guys. We want to make this as interactive as possible. We've got some prizes, because that always loosens the tongues a little bit. And to try and get what you guys are seeing out there, either with your customers or in your own environment, and let's talk to that. So we'll go through our presentation. I've purposely made it so that it's not going to use up the whole hour. We want to leave some time at the end, and we can be aunt agonies and help solve some of your problems, or at least thinking about them.
Well, Terry's going to be your aunt, but
better looking.
I'm not doing that.
All right, so let's start off with a show of hands. Who's got XP in their environment?
Holy crap.
Excellent. Okay. That's a fantastic operating system, isn't it? We love it. Yeah. I mean, Pete and me are the only holdouts in Microsoft still clinging to XP. We love that 5-minute login in the morning.
Speak for yourself, awesome. Barry.
So who has got customers who are still on XP and you're interested in the session of giving a sales pitch to your customers? Okay, cool. While we're exercising our arms, who in here is currently migrating off XP? Who's 50% complete or more? Who's got the majority of their environment still on XP? Okay. Cool. What sort of industry? I mean, I don't want to name and shame companies. What? Someone who put their hand up. What industry?
But it does say on your name tags in case.
You just cover your name tag as you speak. That's all right. We only ours can see. Yeah. Education. Yeah. Where else? Health. Yeah. Yes. Banking. Yeah. Where else? Health. Yeah. Science. Government. Yeah. I mean, there's a broad range right from government through to commercial. So that's typical to what we see for sure. Okay, so today we'll give you some tools to take to your leadership team to help with this argument. Now we find that I had a conversation with a customer about a month ago, and I was brought in there to start the conversation about migrating off XP. So I went in there and said, okay, great, what do we got? Nothing. We're thinking about migrating off Windows XP. Okay. Cool. Have you got an executive sponsor? No. Okay. Ooh. No executive sponsor probably means no money. Have you got any money? No. Okay. We've got a little bit of a problem. So we'll talk about that today as well. All right. 2001. That was a good year. Can you guys remember where you were in 2001? Good stuff up here. Remember Compaq and HP were busy merging. I think I was working at Compaq at the time. I was busy rolling out Windows XP at the time. Dave Dobbin came in. Australia won the Tri-Nations, unfortunately. George Bush was in. Wikipedia started. Can you imagine life before Wikipedia?
And most importantly, everyone was hoping episode 2 was going to be better than episode 1.
And we still had the Walkman. Okay, and it was a stellar year for technology as well. I mean, it's you guys recognise this? My favourite one, of course, is the Xbox. At the time, I was more of a PlayStation man, but I've changed my tune over the years for obvious reasons. And I also own one
Trio
of those.
Trio phones were cool. I had those. They were the bomb.
Phones were also the HP Pocket PC. Who had one of those? Did anyone have one of those way back when? They were the bee's knees. I was on the London Underground, and I'd figured out how to get video going on those things, which was, you had to be sort of wear a lab coat and be a rocket scientist to do that at the time. And I was the envy of all the commuters. And we had the digital camera. Man, that seems like it's been around a heap longer than that. Yeah. What were you doing in 2001, Pete?
I think it was building PCs, I think, still, and servers, and they were all beige.
Beige
was good. Beige. Who wants to bring back beige PCs? That's some good stuff.
And of course, we had XP. Now, this was revolutionary when it came out, right? So we had, I mean, what are some of the features we had? We had media player, we had...
Well, the big thing actually was that was, what do we call it? The new Lunar interface. It was like radical. And we actually got a lot of feedback, and it's quite funny looking back. Everyone goes, well, XP, it's all, you know, tried and true, the familiar interface. But there was actually quite a big backlash against this new XP interface back in the day, you know, which we've maybe seen just a little of recently with the new operating system. But, you know, XP had that exact same thing in its day.
Change is good.
It is good.
Flash forward. 2003. A lot's happened over those years, isn't it? So, I mean, what's happened with Microsoft has bought Nokia? That's a bit strange. Who would have thought that? I mean, back in 2001, we had EDS disappeared. We had a whole bunch of stuff. So now we're on the cusp of saying goodbye to XP. Well, we'd like to say goodbye to XP. So, this is the blinding flash of the obvious, Bifto. If you didn't know this, then you've probably been living under a rock for a little bit. April 8th, 2014, XP will no longer be supported. So it's been a long road.
I think it's a good opportunity for a question. Who can tell us what that means in terms of the actual, you know, support implications for Microsoft? When you answer, you have to say, CloudOS! Right, and then give your answer, okay? Because we've got CloudOS shirts to give away.
What's going to happen in April 2014?
You've got a taker? No, you have to. Yeah, come on, you have to do it.
Cloud updates.
CloudOS.
Because updates will be in the cloud.
Right, so no updates. Cool. Can you call Microsoft for help with XP?
We'll give you a hint here.
Not well, we'll get on to that, but yeah, that's probably close enough.
End of support.
That should do. Oh, sorry. Cheers.
All right, and you'll see the convenient "you are here" sign so that you can see where you are on the map. We're pretty close to that destination. But I figure you already know that, right? So what? Why would we bother moving? Pete, why are we going to...
That's fine.
That's okay.
You can watch videos on XP. It's all good.
Yeah. Well, XP's awesome. I mean, you've had 12 years almost of return on investment. I mean, that's an awesome investment for return. Why would you want to change?
I don't know.
What do you reckon? Cloud OS. Who said that?
Hey! Yeah! Who was that?
Got to give us a real answer as well, and we'll give you a t-shirt.
What do we got?
What do you want to? Why do you want to change? Why would you need to change? Why is that important?
Security.
Security, yeah, that's a big one.
Getting better.
All right, so, and that's pretty much what we're here to talk to today. So, come April 2014. Well, come now, actually, we have three choices. So, and two of them you're probably not going to like. Okay, so behind door number one, stick with XP.
Who's planning to do that? Why are you here? See what happens, yeah. Sweet.
Cool. All right. No, we've done that one. We've got a USB key up here as well. You have to use your USB key next. Vista, yeah. Well, you can. It's still supported. The next one is...
It's called deferring the problem.
The next one is... Hang on. We'll come back to Windows Go. So the next one is to buy custom support. Has everyone heard of custom support?
Who's planning to buy custom support?
And if you are, can I borrow some money? Yeah, and to be fair, some organisations are going to have no choice. There is going to be regulation about that. I'm actually going to cover these in a little bit more depth with Pete as we go on. And the last one, by far your best alternative, and hopefully through the course of this week you've seen some excellent presentations, such as Pete's one previously, which has given you some great reasons why you want to migrate as opposed to why you don't want to migrate off XP. So let's have a look at them one by one. Stick with XP. It is an option, and to be fair, as an enterprise architect, when I go into customers, one of my jobs is to help prioritise projects, and that might be to sync the $2 million the company has into that project over there, which is going to generate business value, instead of getting rid of XP. So that might be actually a valid business decision. And some of you in here may actually find that that's what you'll do. You'll weigh up the risks that we're going to go through today and say, well, that money is better spent on something else. As long as you go into that conversation, as long as you go into that scenario armed with the right facts, then and your executive team is aware of the risks, then that might be the right call.
Yeah, and certainly what we've seen a lot of is that reasons why organisations are not off XP yet has been the ability to, I suppose, articulate a compelling business case that's, not just the, it hasn't been good enough to have a smouldering platform. It has to be a burning platform, and sometimes that's why customers are still, are doing their projects now as opposed to, maybe 2 years ago. It does mean that, a lot of you are in a position where you're doing late-run projects, you've got massive time pressure, and your organisations, your managers, could end up in very, very sticky positions with some pretty big burdens on them come this sort of time next year when there's been some horrific security incidents. So, I think looking at the business case of why you don't want to be there, if there's ever been a time where you need to be good at doing that and listing support from other people, now is it.
And to be fair, your case for let's upgrade because the old operating sucks and the new one's really cool, that's probably not going to get you funding. So I had a question. Yep, so the statement was Office 2003 is going, and what we've traditionally seen is that the version of Office is linked quite heavily with the version of the operating system, so and sort of quite old school, you'd get rid of the hardware, you'd put new hardware in, you'd have a new operating system and the new version of Office. And so it's, we do talk on the edges of 2003.
Yeah. I just want to call out as well, you know, the other big one coming is Server 2003.
Yep.
So, you know, that's
not far away.
Not so much, you know, the edge, you know, your notebooks, et cetera, that massive footprint of old OS without security updates. Well, that's a big one that's coming. And if you're not already planning to migrate those workloads to a more modern operating system, then you need to start doing that as well.
It's the
same
time,
isn't it? Oh, no, it's 2015 for Server 2003.
And to be fair, I mean, we're going a little off track, but we'll come back in a sec. So Server 2003, when you go through the same process to migrate off that and the same justifications, you'll find that a lot of the justifications that you have for XP also fit into that category. Okay, so I think from our show of hands before, you know you're not alone. There's almost 45% of customers still have an XP presence in their environment. This is June figures that I got for last month. And so as I saw this graph, this was trending down, so I'm guessing by April next year it's going to be closer to maybe 25-30%, but that's still a lot of people, a lot of customers, yourselves included, which are still going to have XP in your environment at that time. So does end of support equal Y2K? I love this this cartoon. I don't know. A lot of us thought that the year 2000, the bug with the, you know, the two digits, not the four digits, was going to end all civilization as we knew it. Do we think that end of support with Windows XP is going to do that? No, not. Not really, no. It's going to be a more accumulative effect, but let's have a look. So what does it actually mean? And I think we got some good answers here before. So after April 8th, 2014, there are no new security updates, no non-security hotfixes, and so if a hardware vendor does actually provide a driver for you for a piece of kit after that date and it blows up XP, there will not be a driver out or a hotfix out from Microsoft to fix that. No free or paid assisted support options, with the exception of custom support, which we'll cover in a minute. And no online technical content updates, which you may not miss because I don't think it's probably updated that much anyway anymore. So, some good reasons why not. So I've got four, and I'll get Pete to help me out with fleshing them out. This is what you take to either your customer or to your management team to say, these are the good reasons why we need to get rid of XP. First one's security risk. So I like this title, Windows XP Retirement Will Be Hacker Heaven. So it's a good article from Computer World US, actually. And it's one thing in the article, and I've seen it repeated elsewhere, is that there's, you get, if you're a bad guy and you want to do an exploit on an operating system, you can pay someone who's smarter than you at doing that stuff, sort of 50 to 150K, and buy an exploit. Now, what's been proven out is that there's new exploits being found in XP which are being banked. So a hacker might find an exploit today and think, I'm going to sit on that because it might be worth 50K to me today, but come April 2014, that might be worth 200K because there is going to be no fix for it. I mean, I think you guys are all pretty familiar with Microsoft's patch cycle. We have the patch Tuesdays, which, because of time zone, it's actually Wednesday here. And when a vulnerability comes out for an operating system or any Microsoft technology, we are pretty quick off the mark to fix it. Quite often proactively, sometimes reactively for 0 day. That won't happen anymore with XP. That alone is probably its most scary thing for your company. Antivirus vendors are going to be, they're already jumping ship. And you've probably already seen this in your environments. It's getting harder to get modern antivirus. I mean, show of hands of who's running XP, who's running quite older versions of antivirus because the latest ones don't work. Okay. Couple of nods.
Yeah, I think around the hacking side of things, you're probably all aware of the, I suppose, overall trend away from script kiddies, et cetera, towards more organised cyber crime. And unfortunately, what we do see is, a lot of the organisations who have not completed migrations are quite large. It could be things like banks, government agencies, and, they could well be targets of security exploits and hacking attempts and holding these organisations to ransom or publicly embarrassing them in a massive way. So, it is increasingly clever people and often using social engineering to get people to run things, et cetera, inside their machines. So, yeah.
Yep, definitely. And you would have seen this slide if you'd been to Pete's session. So this is the amount of infections per 1,000 from the security
intelligence report.
Yep. Report. Yeah, that's right. And yeah. So it's obvious that it's a lot less secure. And there's also this one, which...
I love this one.
This is actually quite cool, and I know it's quite hard to see, but what it's actually pointing out is that if you have a patched Windows XP machine with an active antivirus, you're still almost twice as likely to get a virus as a Windows 8 machine without any antivirus. Yep. So the statement was that as we release exploits for newer versions of operating systems, like
we release fixes. Terry,
what did I say?
Exploits.
Oh yes. Yeah. Sorry. We're not.
Release the fix first.
We're not Sony yet. So as we release fixes for exploits, sometimes those are also applicable for older operating systems. And they won't be released, of course. Who in here, raise a hand, was working in IT in 2001? Or a fair few old folks like myself and Pete. Did anyone help clean up Melissa or Love Letter? Yeah, me too. Back then, the security landscape was far, far, far different, and a lot of it was social engineering. I was doing some security work, and I went into a company. I was asked to do some penetration testing, and I sat down with the IT manager, and the IT manager was quite cocky. Of no, we're all secure. It's all good here. And so I asked to borrow a phone and a laptop. And at the time, I rang the service desk and did some sob story about how I'd just been hired by the managing director and I was just about to get fired because I hadn't been set up an account, and it was a stressful day. And I managed to get the service desk person to create me an account, and then I logged on with that account and enumerated service accounts and found a weak one, and bang, within about 5 minutes I was on the environment as an admin. And back then those were fairly common sort of exploits and quite easy to do. Freaked out the IT manager at the time, but it made a good point. Now we're looking at a lot different story, right?
Yeah, if you actually think about it, you've probably all received a call from the Windows maintenance department.
Oh, I've got some of those. Yeah, right? I've had two of those.
I've had must be 30 to 35 calls for some reason. They don't seem to believe me when they say I'm actually from Microsoft. But anyway. Well, I look like I'm from Microsoft, right? But they can't see it on the phone. But that's another social engineering thing, right? And there's been a lot of people sucked in by that, or else they wouldn't keep calling. And those people are your users, right? So just think about that.
Yep. And there's a lot of hacking today. It's worth bearing in mind that it's motivated by crime as opposed to some script kiddie who wants to have fun by taking down a few hundred thousand computers. Most hacking today is a result of trying to make money off you. Okay, this is the one that that scares me. XP zero-day vulnerabilities. Everyone know what a zero-day vulnerability is? That's when an exploit is released and the vendor, Microsoft or anyone else, hasn't yet got a patch for it. And so zero-day is you have the vulnerability and then it's the time until the patch is released that vulnerability is no longer a zero-day. In XP, they will have zero-day vulnerabilities forever after April. Scary stuff, eh? Software and hardware support. Now, I think this, from an admin perspective, you guys will be pretty familiar with this. It's getting harder and harder and harder to find drivers that run on XP for all your favorite hardware. You get brand new hardware in. It doesn't run Office 2013. It doesn't run Photoshop. It doesn't run a whole bunch of stuff.
Thank God for Trade Me, eh?
Oh, yeah.
Like good machines for XP.
Who... Actually, this one's worth the prize because I like this one. Who has an NT4 workstation or NT4 server in their environment?
That's not
the question.
Up the back.
Where they've had to go on to Trade Me to buy hardware in order to keep running it.
Dude, what do you have to say?
Not,
no.
Yeah. Oh, you get a USB. Well done, mate.
Oh, okay. Still good.
Can you imagine doing that across your 1,000 desktops? I like these stats. Remember when you had a computer that was 233 megahertz? Powerful stuff. What was that, a 386? Or?
Yeah, I can still remember $100 a meg and 16. And I had a Turbo XT, Turbo AT, that was good. Yeah.
1.5 gigabytes. At the time, we thought we'd never use that much, right? I know about you guys. All right, so hardware and software support is specifically around the drivers. So, and I probably don't need to tell this to you guys because you're already finding this. And so trying to find stuff that works on the new hardware is going to get increasingly difficult. I showed one of the logos was Office 2013 or Office Pro Plus, if it's coming from the cloud. And that doesn't run on XP. Okay, and support costs, and Pete alluded to this in his previous session, and I won't read this all out, but you've seen the stats that a legacy operating system, and I guess you've probably borne it out from the fact that if you've got to chase around doing drivers and fixing things, it's going to take more time and more effort. There's going to be a lot more instability. There's going to be a lot more productivity loss. The one that I'll call out is this one. So this is direct costs, which came from IDC white paper. So $870 per PC per year for XP and $168 for Windows 7. And I'm suspecting similar or less for Windows 8.
Yeah, I mean, the main determinant of TCO is the quality of your management, but the operating system can play an important role. And part of certainly what we see is that most organizations, when they're doing an OS modernization project, will take the opportunity to modernize all the tools and processes at the same time. So when you do the modernization project, you end up in a better TCO place, kind of regardless of the operating system you're actually deploying.
Yep.
But when you do both, you get gains in both areas.
So it's maturity. So if it takes you 4 hours to deploy a computer, it's going to be a lot more expensive as if you've got that automated and it goes out in 20 minutes. So if you've talked to your executive team or you've talked to your customer and they said, we can't afford to migrate, we can't afford to upgrade to Windows 7 or Windows 8, then these are good independent stats where you can start saying, well, it's actually costing you 7 times more a year to support that old operating system. Should we divert some of those funds into actually getting off it?
I mean, this always gets into a funny area. You know, a lot of this is around the soft costs of running an environment, right? This is, you've got support dudes running around, plugging stuff in, et cetera. And oftentimes an IT manager or executive will say, well, look, we could do this, but these are soft costs. I mean, can I actually get rid of a whole bunch of people? I'm not gonna do that. It's just hard enough trying to get anything done at the moment, any new projects. that you know, I'm not going to realize these cost savings. They're not real, they're soft, they're fluffy.
Speaking of soft and fluffy,
yeah,
employee technology experience, which is kind of soft and fluffy, but it's quite relevant. So this is what your end users see of XP. So they at home with their lovely Lenovo Yoga tablet. Yeah. Awesome device if you haven't had a play.
So I just want to call out, you know, a lot of the time, you know, if you've got a support relationship with a system integrator or a partner, often the contracts will have been based upon the cost to them of running your crappy old XP environment. So this is an opportunity when you look at, you know, if you're going to modernize your environment and you have got more direct costs when you're contracting out, there's an opportunity here to say, look, we want to modernize with you. It's going to put us in a better place for you to look after us in a much more cost-efficient fashion. So, you know, it can end up with potentially a win-win.
And you can get some free stuff. You go to your vendor and say, hey, we're thinking about modernizing our fleet. Can you give us some modern stuff to play with? It's cool. And so you guys would have seen this. So if you go into work and you sit down at XP, you might not have your classic CRT screen, hopefully by now. who does? Anyone? You got CRT. Excellent. I got one of those big 21-inch ones at home, which I've been meaning to stick to them.
Cool.
It's beige retro. I like it. Fantastic. Yeah. So, but it's the experience, right? So, do your employees, if you're XP at your environments, is it a good reason for them to stay because they're working on old tools? It's all about retention. It's also retention for you guys, right? I mean, I was talking to a colleague the other day who's working in one of our customers, and he was thinking on whether he should move on or stay with the company. And his primary reason was that they were operating old technology and he felt his skills were falling behind and he wanted to move to a company which had modern tools. Now, that's valid for you guys. It's also valid for your end users. I mean, their skills need to be maintained in the workplace. And it's things like all the horrible stuff which you already know, like 5-10 minutes to log in. I mean, I've seen some horrendous stats of you go log in and then you go away, get a cup of coffee, and then you come back. And
here's a good one. Having a catch up with Tony Sanchez from Citrix, who just flown in, and he decided it was really going to be a really cool idea to bring some honey from Queensland over to New Zealand, and that would be fine with customs.
yeah.
Apparently, it wasn't.
Drugs okay?
Yeah. So anyway,
food produce, no.
So what happened was customs said, Tony, please step over this way. And we need about 15 minutes to look at, to sort out the paperwork. And he said, 15 minutes seems like a long time. Is it a lot of paper? Well, not really. No, it's online form. The guy said, well, it takes 10 minutes to log on. And Tony said, nah, with an American accent. And then he basically, he said, do you mind if I watch? I said, suppose. Anyway, so I went through and had a look, and it was a VDI session. Fine, doing something new and innovative there, kind of. Boom, XP, sweet. And that's where the 10-minute login was happening. Yeah.
All right, so for the last prize, and for anyone who's been to any Windows 8 or 8.1 sessions at all this week should be able to answer this, I need someone, raise your hand first before we call it out, someone who give me three reasons why 8.1 would be a better end user experience than XP. Yes, sir.
Start button.
That's kind of borderline. Yeah. Anyway, next one. I'll give you that. Yep. Customize Windows UI. We don't call it Metro because of some copyright stuff out there. Yeah, it's cool. So they can personalize it to their own. Yep.
What do you think?
Well, it's kind of 8.1 is better there than 8. But
what about this? Needs to be stuff that end users are going to care about and
yeah,
go.
Yeah. Give us a if you're an end user, what's the touch protection? Yep. Cool. Limited reboots. It's cool. Yeah. A couple more. I'll give.
You have to shout it.
No. This was the last one. Sorry. So how about? Hopefully I'm not going to squeal in your ear.
The overlay background.
Overlay background. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's good. But the end users don't really care about that stuff. I mean, it's the things that they care about is that I keep going back to it, the boot time, but that's so important. I mean, I've got one of those nice new Dell XPS 12s. I turn it on in the morning, and before I can even stand up to go and get my cup of coffee, it's at the screen. I swipe in it, and then I'm at my desktop. It's about 10, 12 seconds tops. I mean,
it's just really, you know, it fast. It goes like the clappers. It supports all the cool new modern hardware they actually want to use. And you can use new software on it and connect to new things like cloud services, et cetera.
Faster to shut down, Wi-Fi connectivity, you connect to the Wi-Fi in about a second as opposed to 5 or 6 seconds, which was Windows 7. So it's even in Windows XP, 3 or 4 minutes, who knows. Bluetooth connectivity, there's a whole raft of end user experience things which are much better. So this is your end users are already sold on this because, as you see from this, they're already using it at home. Right, buy custom support. You don't want to do this. Premier's nodding.
Lots of money.
We do not want to take your money for custom support, and I'll tell you why. Okay, so let me give you a very, very brief guided tour of what the Microsoft lifecycle looks like. So we've got mainstream support. Woohoo! That's everything that's working today. Anything that's modern is under mainstream support, right? And then after a time, so let's take XP for instance. So it came online December 31st, 2001, and right up until April 2014, 2009, which is actually a really long time. It's longer than what we normally have for mainstream support. Yeah. You had all those cool things, so paid support, security, blah, blah, design changes, online support. You can read it on the slide. Then come April 14, we go into something called extended support. Now, you'll probably have other products in your environments, like Exchange 2007, I think is probably an example. Correct me if I'm wrong. That are extended support at the moment.
That'd be extended, yep.
Yeah, and so you still get your paid support, you still get your security patches, you're not getting any feature updates, you do get some online support, right? And then you go to, well, that's at the end of that, which is we're talking about XP at the moment. It's April 2014, right? Or the 8th of April.
And I think it's just good to reflect on. I mean, we do offer really long support life cycles on our stuff. You know, you get 10 years of support out of the can with our products. You know, 5 years mainstream, 5 years extended. XP, I don't know whether you probably don't realise it, we've actually gone over.
Yeah, we extended it.
Yeah, gone over the normal lifespan. So in theory, you should have already been off, you know, a couple of years.
How long do Apple support iOS for? So it's like 10 minutes and then it goes to the next one? Sorry?
They support N-1.
Okay, N-1. Well, this is 8.1 is about to come. 8.1 will be out before XP expires, and so that'll be 4 generations.
Yeah. If someone had asked me, I wouldn't have given you an extension.
You're just mean. I mean, it's a bit.
Maybe.
And so you'll see up here that I've put some dollar signs. Paid support is only through custom. You can get security updates, but you've got to pay a lot of money for them. And same with the non-security hot fixes. You can pay a team of developers within Microsoft to develop a hot fix which is specific to your environment. Yeah. You don't want to do that.
If you're getting into custom support, you know, this is a big chunk of cash which would be much, 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 much better used. Yep. Actually funding part of your project.
If you need to ask how much, you probably can't afford it.
Yep.
Okay, so it's you can get a proposal, and it's I'm a bit tongue in cheek with this because I know that some of you will have to go on custom support, but. Let me be really, really, really clear that this is a temporary measure for you, right? So this is a stopgap, which is because your customers demand it or there's regulation that demands it. In order to get you over the hump, maybe you're busy migrating, but you're going to miss the deadline. And I know quite a few are in that situation at the moment. And you need to pay custom support for a time to take you over to finish that migration. So aware that you need to do that. But what I'm saying is that if you know you have to do that now, if you're on a project trajectory, you're migrating to Windows 7 or Windows 8 or 8.1 today, and you've looked at your Gantt chart and you're not going to make it, and you know you're going to have to do custom support, then take that money that you would have spent in custom support, and this is what Gartner's saying as well, take that money and pull it forward and
resource up.
Resource your project so that you can finish faster.
Yeah.
Yep, true. So it's there's a premier guy down here who deals with the custom support, Ant Willis, if you want to come and introduce yourself later, if you have to go down that path. What Ant mentioned is that you can't actually go custom support unless you have a plan in action to get off XP. Okay, so
Just around the other thing is the cost model. It's not like that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
it's
yeah.
like that.
Yep.
Right.
Yep, it is eye-watering. And if you come in at the end of the session, I'll whisper in your ear what it is, because we're supposed to provide it on quotes.
Right. Ant can help out, that's right.
Okay, so before we move on to the next one, which is by far the preferred option, do we have any questions about anything we've covered so far? Because we're going to talk about all the good stuff in Windows and how to do it and your deployment.
You don't have to shout CloudOS anymore, are
they? Yeah, no, we're out of toys. The current fixes will be available. So the question was, will the current fixes be available? Yes, they will be.
Okay.
But there'll be no updates. But that doesn't help you for zero-day vulnerabilities.
I didn't download, for example,
Service Pack. You should potentially be able to download fixes that are coming out up until that date. You should be able to download them from Microsoft, but there are no guarantees. They might be there, they might not be there. Okay. Any other questions before we move on to down the back? Why was XP support extended? Any ideas? That wasn't going to be my answer, but that is actually quite a good one.
Yeah, I actually don't know, but I think there may have been an extremely large American government organisation who may have had something to do with it, but
and
just
feedback.
My speculation, I don't know.
I mean, if I had to speculate, because nobody tells me anything about these things in Microsoft, it would be because of backlash and feedback from customers. In the same way that we've responded to not having a start button by putting a start button back. So it's showing that at least we do listen to our customers, what motivates you, and we can act accordingly.
Yeah, but don't ever expect that to be done again.
Start buttons.
Just to be clear.
I never missed the start button when it went, but hey.
Yeah.
What would be the length of a custom support agreement? If you're still on a custom support agreement after 3 years, then you're printing money yourself and you're probably not worried about it.
And have you got...
So yeah, it goes up each year. There's a per device charge and a minimum number of devices. And so year one, it's this. Year two, it's that. Year three, it's that.
Yeah, it's saying it doubles every year.
Yep. And year three is even more than double. Okay, any other questions on XP? We're going to save some time at the end to go back because we want to hear some examples. This next stage is going to be talking about Windows 8, how we do it. And so this is, you can compare what you're doing, and then you can compare how we do it, and then you can come and have a chat to us or to your partners about how you can help do this faster. So you have decided to migrate. You have gone through what I call the five stages of XP-lessness. I'll say that fast. So there has been denial. Oh, there's too many people. They'll never move.
Microsoft will extend support again.
Yeah, of course. There's anger. Why are we being forced to upgrade? This is not fair. Bargaining. Well, we are the largest whatever. I'm sure they'll make an exception. Depression. Oh, okay, but there's just so much to do. And then finally, hopefully you're at this point now, not one of the pre-stages, is acceptance. Okay, we know there's lots to do, but let's go ahead and modernize our desktop. Go, 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 what now? Okay, so let's step you through the most important things. So these are where some of the takeaways from this session will hopefully come from. So one, we've given you a bunch of stuff which, if you weren't sure how to approach your management team or your customer to say, we need to get rid of XP and these are the good reasons, so now you've got some good reasons, some really good reasons. Now, this is for the so what, okay, is what do we do now? Okay, the most important thing to remember is you don't have to do everything before you do something, okay? So, and I see this quite regularly because I'm brought into customers quite regularly, and Pete's the same, and we say, okay, what's happening? What are you doing? And they're analyzing, and they're assessing, and they're doing some more investigation, and they're inventorying their applications, and they're prioritizing applications, and they're doing some more assessment, and blah, 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 blah. Okay, great. How many of you migrated? That many.
We often see sort of 3 to 6 months of kind of not much being done.
Yep. Yeah. And it's, let me be clear, it's, you have to plan these things. So I'm not saying you don't plan, I'm saying you don't get into an analysis overlap where you just, it's all you're doing is thinking how bad things are.
It's often those early stages where you haven't actually secured any funding from your
yep.
big cheeses.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're just trying to squeeze in a little bit of kind of stuff to kind of think about this and look at a few things. While you don't actually have any resource on it,
yeah.
and it makes it quite tricky.
I talked to a customer the other month, which this was the case where they just wanted to, they had scratched around down the back of the couch and they'd found 20k to go and do some investigation on moving off XP, and so that's all they had. So they wanted to go and do that, and so all they could really do was analyse. But the outcome of that needed to be it's going to cost this much. And so for that customer, I say, oh, how many desktops do you have? Okay, what's your application portfolio look like? Okay, if I had to spitball it, I'd say budget $2.5 million to do that. At which time they fell off their chairs. So it's not the operating system which costs that, it's the weight of 10 years of not looking after your application portfolio which costs all of that money. So, if then go to. So if you're on XP today and thinking about upgrading, stop thinking, start doing, moves directly to 8.1, okay? If you're on XP and Windows 7 and you're busy migrating, our advice to you would be finish migrating. So don't stop mid-project and go, okay, what are we going to do with 8 or 8.1? Keep going, keep the foot down, keep doing Windows 7, but start planning for Windows 8.1 and look where you can start overtaking that in the current project. So you've heard lots and lots of stuff this week about mobility. Great target. So if you're doing Windows 7 today and you haven't done the laptops, carry on doing 7 across all your desktops. Do 8.1 on your laptops and tablets, and then come back around and cycle back through your desktops with 8.1. Yeah. Hopefully, I mean, once you've done 7, if you've done it properly, then it shouldn't be a big job to move to 8, because remember the hardest thing about going to 7, or if you're still going to 7, you already know, is your application portfolio, the app compat and the packaging and stuff. So once you've nailed that, then you're all good. And we'll talk about
that soon. It really is a key point. You know, as much as we at Microsoft get extremely excited about all the new stuff all the time, it's really a case of if you've got a project in train, you know, and you should have a disciplined, hard case project manager on that to make sure the results actually happen, is not to let that project get distracted with the new stuff. You need to have a parallel stream, you know, a bit of an innovation stream, do a POC or something on the side, some easy stuff. You know, you can do 8.1 tablets managed through an MDM solution, like Intune, for example, without disrupting your core project. You know, just at this stage, just get the hell on with it
yep,
and get
cool.
it finished.
And really so, cool. just know, so I wanted to leave a bit of time at the end for questions because we want to hear back from you guys. And we're going to be around after the session, come up to us and have a chat to us. We're going to go down to the drinks and come and bow us up and ask us questions. So, what do you do and when? This is your desktop project's not sequential. If you do your desktop project sequential, it'll take you 5 years to do it. So, workforce analysis and design. We'll talk a little bit about more of these shortly. And at this late stage, we are in September, you probably don't have a lot of time to spend on this, to be fair. Application strategy and remediation, by far the hardest thing you'll do with migrating your desktop. Image creation, which is what we tend to think about when we think about upgrading a desktop. Actually, that's the easiest bit. That's a dot all, right? Personalization. We've talked about personalization in some of the sessions. This is important. We'll go into it. This is where you start getting real benefits for your end users. And then, of course, you've got the infrastructure preparation. And then go.
Yeah, infrastructure prep seems to have quite a big bearing on the duration of your project. If you've got stuff like, we're changing our exchange at the same time, and we've got to change our Active Directory underneath at the same time. We're going to change the management tools at the same time. All this sort of stuff, a lot of this prep needs to get done first. Yep. And that, looking at a recent project that's in play, that's sort of, 6 months worth of stuff that you need to get done. The other thing which, needs to go right back at the start of this, before any of these, is business case.
Funding.
And Muller. You need to get
the
funding.
This is otherwise, assuming you've got the funding, of course.
None of this is going to happen properly, and it certainly isn't going to happen at the right speed. Yep. And I just come back to it again, is getting the business to acknowledge the requirement to do this and fund it, and not to say, it's just hygiene stuff, guys. You can just do it BAU, right? Not really.
Yeah.
And I just want to reiterate, at the moment, what I'm seeing in government is there is so many projects on the go, and they are big projects, and they're often outsourced. I'm seeing that a lot of the very good resources are getting hoovered up into these massive programs of work, which are pretty cool and exciting stuff. And making sure you've got a really sound resourcing strategy is critical, absolutely critical. There's just so much demand all at once in this area. The other thing is, if you are good at this, there's some good money to be made in the market, because these are totally, totally topical skills.
Yep. And between now and April, you'll be in high demand. This slide, its main intention is to show you that don't do things sequentially. There's things that you can do in parallel. So the things like, say, image creation, you don't necessarily need to wait until you've done all your application remediation before you do that stuff. And I'll show you quite a useful tool that the enterprise architects and others use to find out what's critical, what's not, what's critical path, what's not.
Yeah, I just want to call out that some nice things to do, which can be a really good head start, is through software assurance benefit deployment planning services, and through Premier, you've got the ability to do quite short, sharp POCs, which cover a lot of material very quickly, and it just help you get your head around a whole lot of things. And they often sort of at the bottom of that falls a gold image. So it's a great way of getting started with the process. And it's normally free through your software assurance planning days.
Yep, use it. It's
gold.
In fact, every customer, I'm a paid resource in Microsoft. I'm a mercenary. You hire me for my time. The first thing I do when I go into a customer is I have a look at what they've got with software assurance and go, you've got all this free stuff for this planning, which you can use with partners and with MCS. This is how Microsoft thinks of the desktop, the modern desktop. So I'm not going to go into great detail because that's a whole session in itself, really.
And this is we love this stuff and we think it's totally, totally necessary to get your end user computing strategy done right. But often what I'm seeing at this stage is customers are just saying, we just need to modernize.
Yep.
We're not going to do the aspirational stuff. We're not going to do the cool stuff. We just need to do the basics and get it done right now.
So there's two ways you can do your desktop, right? You can do a like-for-like replacement, and that's what I've seen for the last 12, 18 months.
The bigger you are, unfortunately, the more you're probably going to have to do that, but just have an innovation track alongside.
Yep. But let's be clear, the like-for-like replacement, so crossing out XP, or any version for that matter, and replacing it with 7 or 8 or 8.1, is not actually going to get to many good business outcomes. So at this late stage, I've got to say, this is the last tech ed before end of support, and by the time this session won't be done next year because we're already well past it. So at this stage, concentrate on a like-for-like replacement. Do this workforce analysis and design in parallel, though, because I've talked to a customer a little while ago that was doing VDI across everyone. Okay. Excellent, great. How does that work with your mobile users and your disconnected users? I don't know. Okay. So this is where the workforce analysis, you profile your users. I'm not going to go into it because we'll run out of time. You profile who your users are, what they do, the day in their life, the scenarios that are right for them to be able to do their jobs, and then you create the designs in order to meet those those needs.
And a key thing is if you're not doing things in an aspirational, game-changing way, then make sure you have the flexibility when you're making your decisions so that you leave yourself with those options to the greatest degree.
Right. Who? I haven't got any prizes left, but I'll stretch your arms anyway. Who has found the application strategy and application remediation is the hardest thing of what you're doing with your desktop? Yeah. Any reasons why? It's a mess. Yeah.
Legacy apps
not maintained. Yeah, that's someone from over this side of the room. What are you finding with your application remediation? Mess. Yeah, common theme. Legacy hardware. Yeah, that's a good one too. Yeah. Nobody knows how many we've got. So the that's sort of 10 years or more of neglect of your lifecycle portfolio. This is a good opportunity to fix that, or you could just repeat the same mistakes, repeat history, and then be in the same place in 5-10 years' time. This is one way of looking at it.
So one thing we found when we did ours, and I've seen it on a number of others, is that you already have a really good resource who knows all your applications, and there's a desktop support thing.
Yeah.
So a few of these projects take somebody out of desktop support and second them into the project. They get in contractors who then have all the IP at the end.
That's a good point. So the statement was that your desktop support often have the best idea of, especially your line of business applications, what they do and what some of the challenges are. So think about seconding those into the project. So because this is the hardest area, we'll just do a couple of do's and don'ts. So do reduce your app count. If you've got 5,000 applications today, let's say, think of remediating all those applications is going to take you a boatload of time. If you want to get down to 1,000 or 500.
You want to package or sequence 50 versions of Acrobat Reader or maybe just one.
Yes. Don't get wrapped around the wheels. So I'm going to be talking with a customer over the next couple of weeks whose project is, their desktop project is stalled because they've got wrapped around the wheels of application remediation. And so I'll go in there, I'll help them prioritise, I'll go, okay, which ones are your important ones? Which ones don't we care about? Which ones that we're not even going to test at all because there's not enough users? And help get that back on track. Which sort of segues into don't try to remediate every last application.
Yeah, I think it's really important to basically look at, you know, what is your logical deployment chunks. You know, if it's a hospital, can we do this ward in this fashion? If you can understand which applications exist in which area, makes it a lot easier to actually get from A to B and just get some stuff done.
Which is the next point of prioritise your business critical. So don't start with the easiest ones, don't start with the hardest ones, although the hardest ones are sometimes the business critical ones as well, unfortunately. Start with the ones which are most important to your business and work your way down. So if at the end of the day, you've got 500 applications, start with the most important application to keep that business working and then work your way down from that and prioritise like that. And by the time you get down to application number 237, the rest of them are just that they're not so important. If they do break, they can be fixed. But your application number one, if that doesn't work for your desktop migration, then you're in deep doo-doo. Do take the opportunity to virtualize. Now, whether you have the time or not now to do that is questionable. But this will stop you having to do this whole thing again for the next operating system reboot.
Yeah, the rule of thumb here is if you're going to have to touch an application and repackage it, etc., then the thing is virtualize that app.
Abstract
it out. You can use something like AppV. I mean, compared to traditional packaging, AppV is a lot faster, a lot simpler, and it's a lot better in terms of actually taking cost out of your environment in terms of how you deploy, update, and manage those applications. This is an area where you can make a real TCO gain. But it's a case of if you don't need to touch applications, maybe don't touch, virtualize those ones. Anything you are touching, absolutely do it.
All right, let's move on. We've only got a couple minutes left. So, and one last thing with app remediation, don't forget about Internet Explorer. That's a whole other topic. Talk to Chris Jackson and talk to Ant. He'll be able to help you with that.
Yeah. Oh, what about tools? So the big thing around apps, there are some absolutely amazing tools available to help you with this. Things like AppDNA. From Citrix, Flexera Admin Studio, and Quest ChangeBase. These tools will basically, look at your applications, get in there, do really, really gnarly investigation of how those applications work, what DLLs they reference, et cetera, and then come back and give you a RAG analysis, you know, red, amber, green, across your application estate and say, you've got 500 which are fine, they're just gonna work, right? You've got 200 which are, yeah, need little fixes, and you've got 30 which just stink and aren't gonna work.
Yeah.
And it gives you a rapid way of identifying what's gonna trip you up, and you might go, oh, crap, that's the application that 75% of our users actually use.
So these applications, they can be a little expensive, but if you compare it with having a warm body doing all that testing, they're actually not that expensive.
They inject speed and automation and expertise, which is often quite hard to get.
Cool. So let's just whip through. Image creation, I'm not going to go through that because I think anyone who's desktop engineer will know this far better than me. Personalization, so this is portability. Now, I'm not going to go too far into this because you will have seen it from other presentations, but giving a consistent experience across multiple devices is really important, really key for end-user experience.
Kill roaming profiles if you're using them.
Roaming profiles, dead, gone. They're a pain in the backside. Infrastructure preparation. Now, this is a pretty eye chart. I'll show you even better one. This is a heat map, and you can download the presentation and use this heat map in your environment as a litmus test of what do I need to change, what's a project already in flight. I use this all the time. If I go into a customer cold, I'll walk through this in a workshop and go, okay, what's going on, what projects have you got underway, oh, do you know that you've missed these three or four things which are critical to this outcome. So, wrapping up, our key takeaways for today. End of support. You already knew that, of course. The world won't end, but your career could. Something bad happens. Migrating to 7, keep going. Still on XP. Start migrating now. And I'll just show you this. So remember the concurrency. So you're not going to do everything at once.
That's really key.
Right, related content, this is the last session, so welcome to the end of TechEd. There is some drinks coming up very shortly, so meet us downstairs. We've run out of time for questions, so come up and have a chat to us after the session. So thank you very much for your attendance, I really appreciate it, and thank you for coming to TechEd.